As we come to chapter 19, verse 8, in this great psalm, we come to the special revelation, the Torah of the Lord. As we said, there's two types of revelation, the revelation of nature and the revelation of Scripture. So in verse 8, we come to that special revelation of Scripture. Notice it reads, Torat Adonai Temima Meshivat Nafesh Edut Adonai Ne'amana Makimat Peti. The Torah of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Notice we begin with the Torat Adonai. A Torah is a feminine singular noun in construct with Adonai. Notice the change from a Torah to Torat, feminine noun in construct with Adonai. And so the Torah, or the instruction of the Lord, is temima. Temima is an adjective meaning perfect or whole, in the sense that the instruction that the Lord brings us in His Word makes us whole, and it converts the soul. Meshivat is a hifil participle, feminine, singular, from shuv. Notice it is causing conversion to the soul. The Torah changes us. It turns our life around. That's the power of the Word of God in our lives. And nafesh is the noun meaning soul from nefesh. And since we're at the end of the phrase here, we have the accent moving back to the penultimate syllable, from a segol to a comet. And notice, edut Adonai. Edut is a singular noun that means testimony. So the testimony of the Lord. Here we have from edut, a noun in construct with Adonai, yod he vav he. So the testimony of the Lord is sure. Notice, Ne'amana is a verb from aman. And notice it's a nifal, perfect, third feminine singular from aman. And so it is sure, the testimony of the Lord. Makimat peti. It makes wise the simple. Notice hacham is to make wise, and notice we have a mem prefix indicating a participle or a participial form. We have an ai vowel pattern, and we have the at, which is a feminine participle in construct with peti, third or feminine singular, and so it's causing or making wise the peti, the simple. Peti is a noun that means simple, like a simple person. And the word simple simply means one who is open to the influence and the regulation that the Lord's instruction, that the Lord's testimony will bring to a person. So we are molded by the testimony that the Lord brings in His Word. Notice, as when we look at this, the Word of God, it gives clear sight to us, and it helps us. It leads to spiritual conversion, and we can trust it. It is sure, it is wise, and it causes us to have spiritual wisdom that only the Lord can give in His Word. And then we go on as He continues to describe it. Pikudei Adonai Yesharim Mesamechei Lev Mitzvat Adonai Bara Me'irat Einayim. notice Pikudei Adonai, the precepts of the Lord are right or straight, making wise the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Notice Pikudei is a plural noun from Pikud, and here the Tseriyod is showing masculine plurality and construct with Adonai, and this has to do with the rules of the Lord, rules that He has given us to respond to. And notice the rules of the Lord are straight, yesharim. The adjective meaning straight, they're not crooked, they're not winding, they're straight on, so to speak, making wise, or I should say rejoicing, the heart. Misamachei lev. Notice misamachei is from the verb samach, to rejoice. And it's a PL participle, masculine plural, with the seriyot again, and it's in construct with the word heart, or lev. So the precepts of the Lord, they're straight, and they rejoice the heart. They make the heart glad when one does them. Mitzvat Adonai bara, the commandment of the Lord is pure, it's abiding forever. The mitzvah, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Mitzvah is from the noun mitzvah, and it means commandment. It's a feminine noun. It's in construct. Notice the at shows that it's in construct with yod hey vav hey, with the Lord. And it is bara, it is pure. Bara is a cow perfect. Third feminine singular from bara, to make pure, in the sense that it makes clear. So the commandment of the Lord is pure, me'irat einayim, enlightening the eyes, or causing us to have understanding. Notice me'ira is from the noun, or from the verb ur, meaning to become light. It's a hifil participle, feminine singular, in construct with einayim. Notice einayim is the dual plural from ayin, meaning eyes. So it enlightens the eyes, that is the commandment, what the Lord has commanded. It causes one to have enlightenment, and it's pure. Because it is straight, the precepts not only make the heart glad when one obeys them, but one experiences the joy of an obedient heart to the Lord, and because it is clear and straight on, so to speak, it causes the eyes to be enlightened. In other words, our understanding. The eyes have to do with understanding. In the ancient world, to have big eyes, even as far back as Sumerian, when we speak of Igi Gal, eyes big, it means one has understanding. And so that's what the Word of God brings us. That's what the commandments of the Lord teach us. It causes us to have understanding, our eyes being enlightened. And then he goes on, Yirat Adonai Tehura Omeret La'ad Mishpatei Adonai Emet Tzadiku Yahdav. So the fear of the Lord, that is the reverence of the Lord, and this is from Yirah, meaning fear or reverence. Notice Adonai, it's in construct with Adonai, this feminine noun. So the fear of the Lord is Tehora. Tehora is the word that simply means pure. So the fear of the Lord, it's like it's clean, feminine noun meaning clean. The fear of the Lord is clean. It can be trusted. It's not something that would defile one. It is clean. And because of that, he goes on to say, notice, the fear of the Lord is clean. Omed et la'ad. It stands forever. Omed et is a participle, feminine singular, from amad, to stand. Notice the O-class vowel, followed by the double segulate. And then, la'ad, la'ad meaning forever. So the fear of the Lord is forever. That is, it lasts forever. There's no time when it ceases to be. It's eternal. And then he goes on to say, the Mishpatei Adonai Emet Yadaku Yahdav. The judgments. These are individual judgments of right action that the Lord teaches from His Torah, our relationship with each other. And notice, Mishpat is the noun that here, with the Tseru Yod, is a masculine plural noun, again in construct with Yod Hei Vav Hei, with the Lord. So the commandments of the Lord are true. When we understand His judgments, they are going to be fair. They are going to be true. That's why we need to ponder them in God's Word. He goes on to say, furthermore, that they are altogether righteous. Noted Sadeku Yahdav. Sadeku is the Kal perfect third masculine plural from Sadak, and Yahdav means, it's an adverb meaning all together. So, the judgments that the Lord teaches in His Torah and how we are to relate to one another are true. And they're also right. They're also righteous, where other kinds of judgments outside of His are not always so. And so the fear of the Lord is to have reverence. And it's to Him and to His fear that leads to His character. And as we share that fear, it's not polluted by idolatrous worship, but it is clean. And when we look at the fear of the Lord, because it is pure and clean, it endures. There's no end to it. And furthermore, the judgments of the Lord are fair. They're true in their fairness. There's no partiality or unfairness in His judgments. Hence, they are altogether righteous. And so, because of that great exhortation concerning the Word, in verse 11, the psalmist goes on to say, Hanechamadim mizaav umipaz rab, umetukim midvash benofet zufim. Notice, he says, more to be desired than gold, even than fine gold, and sweeter than honey and the flowing of the combs. Notice the first word here, more to be desired, henechamadim. Notice the definite article ha, followed by the nifal participle. The nun gives it away as a nifal participle from chamad. And notice the em ending makes it plural. So, nechamadim, that is, more to be desired. Or they are desired, we should say, more than gold. Notice mizaav. The mem here is a comparative use of the mem, followed by the noun zahav, meaning gold. So the Word of God is to be more desired than gold, and even fine gold. Again, we have a comparative use of the preposition min. Notice the nun has assimilated into the pei. and we have the doggish in the pay. And so, even then, fine gold. Notice a pause here with Rav, meaning, which is an adjective, meaning much, and pause, meaning rich gold or fine gold. And so the Word of God is to be desired beyond gold, more than fine gold. One of the sad things today is that people will go and spend all of their life chasing money, but the Word of God seems to be in the back seat someplace. And one of the most important things that we need to pursue that's more important than fine gold is the Word of God. As a matter of fact, he goes on to say, the Word of God is so sweet. Notice, umetukim midvash benofet sufim. Sweeter than honey and the flowing of the combs. Notice, even, probably here could be even, he's explaining how they're to be much more desired than gold because they're even sweeter. Notice, metukim is the cow passive participle from matok, meaning to be sweet. So notice they are sweeter, and that ooh gives it away as a cow passive participle, midvash, then honey. Notice the mem here, again, is the comparative use of the mem, meaning then. And devash means honey. Honey really is one of the sweetest tastes, if it's good honey, especially raw or wild honey, that the psalmist would be speaking of. So sweeter than honey and the flowing of the combs, the nofet sufim. Notice nofet is a cow active participle in construct with sufim, from nafa, to flow. So, and we could say the flowing of, or flowing honey of the honeycomb. And sufim is the honeycomb, and notice the im puts it into the plural, so it's more sweeter than honey in the honeycombs. And that's how important the Word of God is. It's sweet. So it's not only to be desired more than just silver or money, but it's sweet when we spend time in it. It's sweeter than honey and even the comb, the kind of sweetness that we have in honey that's in the comb. So God's Word and His judgments should be desired more than gold. There's a beautiful thought here, is that God's Word is sweet, sweeter than honey. And the text shows the importance of God's Word. It's sweet, it's gold. And there's a story that is told of a rabbi who was approached by someone after the rabbi had come out of the study of the Torah. The rabbi was told something like this, "Rabbi, I can give you all kinds of gold, silver, and honey." But the rabbi stopped him and said, "You know, I'm really not interested in all that because I have just come from the wealthiest house I could ever come from. For I have just come from the house of the study of the Torah." And so again, what a beautiful picture here. We are to study the Word, and there is nothing more sweet or to be desired than God's Word. And all of these things that we've been looking at in Psalm 19, for it is the Word that brings all of this to us. And then, the psalmist, after elevating the importance of the Word, begins to talk about how the power of God's Word and prayer to help. Notice in verse 13, Shegiot mi yavin, Benistarot nakeni. Who is able to discern shegiot, errors? Indeed, from presumptuous sins, keep back my soul, or protect me and keep my soul from presumptuous sins. Verse 13, I skip down to 14, ministarot would be clear me from hidden faults. From hidden faults, clear me, and then we'll get to the presumptuous sins. Notice, shegiot would be who can discern errors. Shegiot is your noun from shegia, meaning error. And notice it's a feminine plural in the ot here, ending. So errors, who can discern? Notice the interrogative pronoun me, followed by the cal imperfect third masculine singular of the verb being, to understand, a middle weak verb, and with a biradical root, that we would translate then, who can understand errors? And of course, the one that really can is God, the Lord, the Lord. And then, ministarot nakeni, from, notice, presumption, from hidden sins, or clear me, from hidden faults. Satar means to hide, and notice this is a nifal feminine participle from satar. The nun gives it away as a nifal. And notice it is preceded by the mem, which is a noun, or which is a preposition meaning from, and the ot puts it into the feminine plural. So from hidden, understood, faults, nakeni. This is an adjectival use of the nifal participle, followed then by nakeni. And notice nakeni is a verb from naka that means to make clear or to make innocent. And notice it is a PL imperative in the text here, second masculine singular from naka plus the pronominal suffix first person singular. So clear me, or make me innocent of the hidden faults or hidden sins. Here the psalmist prays that the Lord would help him to be able to discern errors within himself, even those hidden errors that he needs to be aware of. He's asking the Lord to help him to be aware of them and rid himself of them, to be cleared of even hidden faults. When we think about the Bible, the Lord looks at the heart and how important it is to be as Jesus taught, to be pure in heart. For the Lord sees that, and for those who are pure in heart, they will see God. And that should be our prayer, that the Lord's Word and the Lord would search our hearts and clear us from hidden faults. And then as we come to verse 14, he continues, Gam mezedim chasak abdecha al yem shaluvi azetam v'niketi mepesha rav. Notice as he continues in this next verse, we would translate it, indeed, from presumptuous sins keep your servant. Do not let them rule over me. Then I shall be clear and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Notice as we look at this verse, gum is an adverb. We could translate it indeed or also from zedim. Notice from here, mim is the preposition from, and zedim is a plural masculine adjective meaning that which is presumptuous. So from that which is presumptuous, the presumptuous, we could add things, Chasak Abdecha. Chasak is the cow imperative, second masculine singular from Chasak, and we would render it keep me, or keep your servant. Abdecha is the noun Eved, and notice it's in construct with Ha, with your helping vowel, the Sigol. So keep your servant from these presumptuous sins, that they may not rule over me. Notice Al is a negative particle, and Yem Shalu is the cow imperfect, third masculine plural, or common plural, from Mashal, followed by the. I should say third masculine plural from Mashal, followed by V to rule over. And notice the Hirik Yod shows that we have a first person singular pronominal suffix. So help me, keep me from these presumptuous sins, that they do not rule over me. Az etam, then I shall be clear from, I shall be perfect, so to speak, and clear from, or innocent, maybe we should translate, I shall be clear from, and clear or innocent from the great transgression. Notice then is an adverb meaning then, and we have a tam, which comes from tamam. This is a double ayin verb, but we lose the final mem here, so it is a cow imperfect, first person singular from tamam. Notice the aleph gives it away as an imperfect. So then I shall be clear or faultless. And now we come to the next verb. Notice, and I shall be innocent. Veniketi. Niketi. We have the vav here as a vav conversive. Notice with the perfect, the vav with the shaba turns it over and makes it imperfect or future. The root is naka, is the root. And so when we look at this form, it has an I vowel under the nun, followed by a doubling of the kof, and a tseriyod, which tells us that historically it was probably a final yod form, but the hey that was added later in these final yod forms to take it to the verb naka has, we no longer see, but the yod appears, the historical yod, and so veniketi, PL perfect, first person singular with the T ending, and it means to be innocent. And notice what he's saying here, I shall be innocent, the PL stem. So again, the PL is indicated by the I under the nun and the first consonant of the verb, followed by the doubling of the kof. So I shall be innocent, and naka means to be innocent. So I shall be innocent, or I shall be clear, mipesha rab, from the great transgression. And notice meh here is your preposition from. Pesha is the noun meaning transgression, masculine singular, and rab is the adjective, also masculine singular, meaning great. So I shall be innocent from the great transgression. I'm wondering if the great transgression would be open apostasy from the Lord. The psalmist prays that the Lord will keep him from these presumptuous sins, that they would not have dominion over him or rule over him. If that would be the case, he says, I would be faultless then, and I will be clear of the great transgression. So he does not want to turn away from the Lord. He wants us to go on, and that's what the Lord encourages us. He encourages us to be overcomers. When we look at the book of Hebrews, all of the five warning sections are encouraging the believer to press on in Jesus Christ and not to fall away, but to move on with the Lord. So this great psalm is praying for the Lord's protection from this kind of sinning with a high hand, so to speak, in open rebellion against the Lord. And so we don't want to in any way turn away from that first love that we have. And as Christians, that would be Jesus, and loving Him and serving Him and elevating His name and worshiping Him as the sovereign, divine second person of the Holy Trinity, who gave Himself as the God-man to die for our sins, and who reigns victoriously at the Father's right hand of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We want to affirm that great gospel and, as I could say, keep on keeping on in that fidelity to preaching it, to loving it, and to sharing it in our lives. And so the psalmist concludes then, Yehu leratzon imre fi vehegyon libi lefanecha Adonai tzuri vegoali. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable before you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What a beautiful conclusion. These words appear regularly in many prayers. And notice, Yehu is a cal imperfect, third masculine plural from Hayah. So let there be Leratzon. Notice Leratzon is a lamed here for Ratzon, meaning what is acceptable. So let there be for that which is acceptable, he's saying, namely the words of my mouth. Notice Imre is from the word Emer, meaning word, and here it's in the plural, masculine plural, with the seriyot in construct with fi. And fi is the noun that means mouth, and the hirik yod shows first person singular. So the words of my mouth, let them be for that which is acceptable, and the meditation, behegyon libi, of my heart. Notice ve is just your conjunction and. And hegyon is the noun that means meditation. And it's the hegyon libi, the meditation of my heart. And notice lev is the noun heart, and e is your pronominal suffix, first person singular. So let the meditation of my heart, and I'm reminded of Psalm 1, where it says, Kiim bitorat Adonai chefso, uvetorato yege yomam belaila. But the godly man, his delight is in the Torah of the Lord, and in his Torah he yege, he meditates day and night. So he's wanting the meditation of his heart to constantly be before you. And notice lefanecha is the lamed meaning to. The cha is your pronominal suffix. The noun pana means face, but translated here it would be simply before you, literally to your face, panecha. And notice Tzeder Yod puts it in a plural construct with cha, but it's best to just see this as a preposition. Let the meditation of my heart before you be for that which is acceptable, O Lord. Notice Lord here is like an address, almost like the Greek vocative, O Lord, my rock, Tzuri, the Goali, and my Redeemer. Notice Tzuri is from the noun sur, meaning rock, a masculine noun followed by the hirikyod, pronominal suffix, first person singular, and vegoheli, goel, means redeemer. Notice it's an O, and then hurried, pathak, under the aleph, and so it's a kal participle, rendered the one who redeems me, or redeemer, with the O class vowel. And the E is your pronominal suffix, first person singular. And so he's praying that the words of his meditation would be acceptable and before him, who is his rock foundation, and his redeemer. What a beautiful picture of the Lord who redeems us and becomes like a rock in whom we have ultimate protection. As I think about this great text, I am reminded that we have redemption through the blood of Christ, who has become our great Redeemer as believers in Jesus. Nothing can ever sever us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He is our rock. He is our security. In Romans chapter 8, this great reality is brought home. Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things that are present, nor things about to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 38 and 39. So in Christ, when we have our faith rooted in Him, we have a rock of impregnable protection. And what a beautiful address that the request of prayer in this psalm is now found in Jesus Christ, who is the rock and redeemer of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful psalm that looks at two revelations. Natural revelation, where God has revealed His great power and dominion, and special revelation, where the Lord has revealed the wonderful things about His Word and what it will do in our lives. And may we value His Word more than money, and may we believe that it's sweeter than the sweetest kind of sweets we could ever have, sweeter than honey. And so let us live our lives letting the Word cleanse us and purify us, and spend our days meditating on the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word, and pray that all of our meditation will be acceptable before Him. This is the message, I believe, of this great psalm.